I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Anna Bodkin has eaten some pretty strange meals in some pretty strange places. She's not some celebrity chef on the road looking for exotic fare. She's a war correspondent. Bodkin has worked and traveled in some of the world's toughest hotspots. Sometimes dinner would be a packet of trail mix in the back of an armored Humvee. Sometimes it was a lavish four-course meal at the home of a local warlord. She's written about her experiences in her book called Peace Meals, Candy-Wrapped Kalashnikovs and Other War Stories. Anna Bodkin joins us in the studio on this Thanksgiving Day. Nice to have you here, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you for having me.
What's the strangest place where you've ever spent Thanksgiving?
Oh, they're all strange. The most beautiful place I've spent Thanksgiving was northern Afghanistan in 2001.
2001, just as the United States came in.
That's right. Just about a month and a half after the beginning of the war.
What was that like?
Beautiful, desolate, very poor, and extraordinarily hospitable. And I think there every meal with it was a Thanksgiving because we were just happy to have survived a day.
Well, the people of Afghanistan at that point, it was wintertime. You say that they're preparing for almost starvation during the winter. There was no food.
That's right. I was in a village called Artinjilar in northern Afghanistan, which was 17 hours' walk from the nearest town, and there was only one little store. It was more of a lean-to in the middle of the village that sold soap, matches, and canola oil. Because he saw me and immediately decided that he needed to be my host. Because that is the nature of hospitality in Afghanistan.
Not because you're a reporter, you're a guest.
I was just automatically a guest. A stranger passing by becomes a guest. And he had nothing to offer me, so he reached into the folds of his clothes and pulled out a handful of gnarled raisins and handed them to me and poured them into the palms of my hand. The generosity accompanying that gesture was extraordinary, and I think it beats every single the most huge spreads I've had in houses of sheikhs or U.S. military bases. That was probably the most generous and beautiful meal.
Well, I want to push you in the other direction of the lavish meals and the multi-course meals with warlords.
One time in Iraq in 2005, I think it was in Tikrit, the birthplace of Saddam Hussein, I was traveling embedded with a U.S. Army unit in an attempt to conquer hearts and minds of the local population. They had asked a U.S. Army surgeon to visit a house of a sheikh and look at his children who may have had some health problems. And so we arrived with a big military entourage, and I was traveling at the time with Kim Komenich, a photojournalist who was working for the San Francisco Chronicle. And he's a big man in his 50s. Because I was a woman and the colonel was a woman, everybody just assumed that Kim was the man in charge. So as we sat down to this multi-course meal that had everything from potatoes to dolma to lamb kebab to rice to fresh salads, five different kinds of desserts on the table. Kim gets the special treatment. He gets a plate with something on it, and we don't quite understand what it is. And using hand gestures and giggling, the teenage sons of the sheikh explain that he got the lamb testicles, the plate of honor.
Nobody was fighting over that, I take it.
No, we kind of snickered, and poor Kim had to deal with that while we were eating the best lamb stew I've ever had, you know.
Also, we should say that it's really your book is so fascinating, and you include some recipes here. It's not a cookbook. Some of the stories are really entertaining. Some of them are, of course, very sad. But you include recipes, and you have a recipe for the dolma?
Yes,
right?
I do.
The grape leaves?
I do. Grape leaves stuffed with lamb and rice.
And I want to ask you in a minute how you went even about learning these recipes and getting these recipes when you were trying to accomplish so much. But before that, let's just go on to one other story. This is also in Iraq. It's in a chapter called Lobster in Tikrit, talking about Tikrit. This is not the place where you'd expect to have a delicacy, but tell us this story.
In order to boost morale of the troops, the Department of Defense would organize these amazing meals at chow halls, they call them, or dining halls at U.S. military bases in Iraq.
You say that they were always happy to show you the chow hall anytime you went to a military base.
It seemed to me that that was the one thing that they were really proud of, because Iraq was falling apart around them as we were there. And, you know, the one thing that was beautiful and always reliably fully equipped and staffed were the chow halls. And the bigger the base, the more extraordinary the chow hall. But one tradition was that every Friday, these chow halls would get steak and lobster tails imported from Maine. And so these lobster tails would probably travel by sea to Kuwait and then by land through some really, really dangerous roads up to these military bases. And in order to make sure that the lobster tails were properly cooked, and my listeners in the Northeast will appreciate this, chefs at the military bases would start cooking them after breakfast to serve them for dinner. So, of course, they were very tough, and even tougher to get them out of their shells, because all the cutlery was plastic. But it was basically an attempt to give us a little taste of home to troops who were deployed for sometimes 12, sometimes 18 months, you know, missing their home. And there is a lot of conversations on these military bases about where they're going to eat once they get home. And when you talk to the troops about, you know, what are you going to do when you come home, inevitably, one of the first five things they mention is, oh, we're going to go to IHOP, or we're going to go to Benny's, or we're going to, you know, I'm going to cook the biggest barbecue. You know, we all are attached to the food we grew up with. And so they remember food as a symbol of home.
Anna Botkin is a war correspondent and the author of Peace Meals, Candy-Wrapped Kalashnikovs, and Other War Stories. Thank you for coming in. And now I know you're going back to the place of the first Thanksgiving, Plymouth, Massachusetts, to enjoy turkey.
There will be turkey, yes.
There will be.
Thank you very much for having me, and happy Thanksgiving, everyone.